Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yo, what's up? It's your man, Sean Weatherspoon, M-I-Z-Z-O-U, and you're listening to the Mazodcast. Man, you need a hobby, like golf or something. This show is terrible.
And a throw, slam. This bug's for you.
They are carving up this LSU defense.
It don't get no better than that, man.
Now Cook's going to throw the deep ball, and Burton's past the defense. Touchdown, Luther Burton, 47 yards.
Two place, kick is up. It is.
Yes, now a walk-off winner from 61. Harrison Meadus.
This is the Mazodcast.
Well, howdy, Tiger fans. Welcome to the Mazodcast. I'm your host, Brennan Anthony. Joining me, as always, is my longtime brother, Colin Anthony.
What's up, dum-dums?
Colin, we are recording after Mizzou's seventh game of the season, taking on the Kentucky Wildcats. Missouri came away the victor on the road, 38-21. And dare I say, the most impressive victory of the season so far.
This was a big one for a couple of reasons. One, we got down early. I mean, got down in a way that would usually, in most years, have spelled doom for this football team, but not this year.
And, wait, we were down early? I hadn't noticed.
Yeah. Also important because it's Kentucky, and they've kind of had our number, and it's important for them to know their fucking place, and it's behind us. Know their fucking place.
I think there's no question about that. I mean, Kentucky left this game knowing
their fucking place.
They are a notch below the Missouri Tigers when it comes to their place in the SEC, for sure. 38-21. That is a big win, a big conference win on the road against a ranked opponent coming off of a disheartening loss to LSU. You couldn't really ask for anything more. The game did get off into an ugly start, Colin. I mean,
yeah, we couldn't tackle for the first quarter. It was weird.
It wasn't just the defense. The offense couldn't.
Johnny Walker Jr. into coverage in the red zone, which was also weird. I think a good word to describe it would be weird.
The offense wasn't much better, Colin. I mean, we couldn't move the ball at all. Brady Cook was overthrowing guys. It was just like everything was going Kentucky's way, and Missouri looked like they were almost disinterested at first.
Brendan basically got the Mizzou blues.
Early.
Oh, boo-hoo! After watching that, got on Twitter. He interneted mad.
Mm-hmm, I did.
I think that's what they call that.
Yeah, Colin, I just want to admit to you now and to everybody listening, I'm a reactionary tweeter, and I'm here to admit it to you and to our God.
In your defense, we looked awful the first. We had interception. There was another play where, like, we're trying to convert a third down, and we basically almost snap it over Brady Cook's head, and he kind of fumbles it. It led to a punt, which led to a touchdown. That punt was just a humongous momentum swing.
The fake punt,
I should say.
Colin, the fake punt, I mean, it was a clear dividing line in between what was the two games. And the first quarter that went so badly for Missouri, and then ultimately just absolutely dominating Kentucky the rest of the way out, it seemed like this one game was almost a microcosm of how the season has gone, in that we started out and just looked like a bad team, like a team that wasn't capable of anything productive. And then it's like a switch flipped, and we were a completely different team. And I've never seen anything like this since I've been watching the Tigers, to where it's not just we needed a few pieces to fall into place and everything would work out. It's like a different team. It was like a different team from the first quarter to the second quarter. It was a different team from South Dakota and Memphis to K-State, LSU, and Kentucky. Like, it's amazing the sort of just like snap of the fingers and you're a different team. And the different team has been good. I mean, everybody looking around at the Missouri Tigers right now says, this is a good team. And, you know, I guess part of the reason I was so down early, Colin, is that I didn't believe. I have not believed. You know, I just have seen 3 years of drink ball, and then we are what we are now. And it's time for me to start believing, I guess.
Yeah. And I think what can't be lost in this game, especially after LSU, is that the defense played well.
Yeah.
After the first quarter, their defense played really well. Johnny Walker Jr. continues to put pressure on the quarterback. We forced turnovers. We had a fumble recovery and really made Kentucky's offense looked pretty inept most of this game. And it was never really in doubt. Once we took the lead, even when Kentucky took it back, I was like, well, they're not going to be able to stop us. You know, Meavis continues to not impress in a lot of situations, which is kind of scary. But yeah, this was as resilient a win as I've seen a Mizzou team have.
We had not gotten a lot of pressure on opposing teams' quarterbacks. We had 4 sacks in this game. We had not been getting a ton of interceptions. We had 2 interceptions in this game.
Mm-hmm.
We put the game away when we needed to with 18 fourth quarter points. It was, I mean, the stands were utterly empty, devoid of Kentucky fans. Just the Missouri section was cheering at the end of this game.
I can't believe this year, Brennan, we didn't have a midweek show leading up to this. We didn't get to talk to the Colonel.
That's true enough. We've really fallen off. I don't know if we'd want to talk to Colonel Sanders this year, because he's going to be down after what just happened on Saturday. Yep. Now, we scored 17 in the second quarter, 18 in the fourth quarter, held court in the third quarter. From the time the second quarter kicked off to the end of the game, Kentucky was outclassed, utterly outclassed. We're now 6-1, 2-1 in conference, ranked number 20 in the nation. We go up against South Carolina next week, and then Georgia Bulldogs, who, while still the number one team in the country and still an incredibly good football team, vulnerable in a way they haven't been the last couple of years, in a wide open year in college football where nobody looks particularly dominant. I have said before, this looks like a year where if you could make moves, there are openings. And to my surprise, pleasantly, Drinkwitz is taking advantage of that. And we're good when we need to be good.
His play calling, and that might be the Kirby Moore, but the play calling has gotten a little more aggressive. They used the tight end. They started Norfleet. I didn't see Stevens get near as many snaps.
I think after 4 drops, we're not going to see a lot more Stevens. And Norfleet does look good.
Well, I mean, he was in there. I mean, when they go to that 2 tight end set, I mean, he's in there blocking. But when it came to starting and when it came to pass catching, it all went to Norfleet, which I think is an acknowledgement on Brinkwitz's part that, hey, there's a roster upgrade here if I'm just willing to make the change. And he did this week, so I want to give him credit for that. Our offensive line was the only real downside that, for me, I watched our offensive line. We could not run the ball at all. God bless Cody Schrader. He just pounded and pounded away and eventually broke one late and scored that touchdown. It was really important at the time, but man, he had a long night. Our line, when it comes to like imposing their will and forcing the run game, they just don't have it. I mean, they haven't had it yet. Maybe they'll find it. But man, when it comes to like those grind them out yards, those conversions, man, they just do not control the line of scrimmage. 55 Tolbosson, he's a problem. I mean, he's a big problem. I know some people don't like individual players being called out, but I mean, like, hey, if we're going to lay it on Brady Cook every time he fucks up over the past season, that we've got problems right at center and right in the fucking heart of our line. And it's making it really hard to run between the tackles.
Yeah, it was a long night for Schrader, who did eventually break free for a 19-yard touchdown run. Honestly, Colin, for putting up 38 points, one of our best offensive performances of the year, it was not the normal Mizzou offense. I mean, you're talking about the nights that Brady Cook went, you know, almost 400 yards passing. He had 167 yards passing with a touchdown and an interception, but he controlled the game. He was an effective game manager. Luther Burden didn't have his normal Luther Burden-esque night. It fell to Theo Weiss and Marquise Johnson to pick up the lion's share of the receiving yards and the scoring drives. So it's nice to see other guys pick up the slack when a guy like Luther Burden isn't on, or if he's just in triple coverage and can't get free.
Yeah, they're going to roll coverage to Burden. Theo Weiss is an excellent option.
Yes, he is. He's Theo Weiss. I'll tell you what Theo Weiss does. He makes me forget who Dominic Lovett ever was, because that, you know what I mean? Because Lovett was so good last year. And when he left for Georgia, I thought that was such a gut punch to not only leave the team, but to go to your division opponent, the number one team in the country. And he did score a touchdown for Georgia on Saturday, but up to that point, he had been almost a no-show since he transferred. And with Theo Weiss on board, and whenever the defense is focusing all their attention on Luther Burden, there's Weiss ready to fucking do magical things. So he was a great transfer pickup for Drinkwitz. He was a great pickup.
Part of what has helped Burden become the Luther Burden we know this season is that he got to move into the slot position that Lovett was squatting in. So we lose Lovett, yeah, but it's given Burden an opportunity to play his natural position, and it's obviously yielding results.
This was not the outcome I expected. It wasn't obviously it wasn't the start that I expected, but I thought Missouri could win this game, but I thought it would be close. Kentucky has looked good. They've had a weak schedule up to this point with an impressive win over Florida, but I didn't think that Missouri was going to dominate on the road in the way that they did. And it just gives me so much more confidence going in. I don't want to overlook South Carolina because I feel like there's a little of that going on right now because South Carolina has struggled, but South Carolina's had a tough road to hoe up to this point.
Mm-hmm. I do think, though, I'm starting to believe more and more that the Tigers are a pretty good team.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm slow to believe because, you know, because we're Missouri, frankly, but we're 6-1 and we beat Kentucky and didn't look like we had a particularly difficult time doing it. I'm more and more, I look back at that LSU game and I think, man, our defense didn't play well and we gave them all we wanted. And they've got a guy who might win a Heisman Trophy playing quarterback.
Yeah.
And we gave them all they wanted and should have won the game. And I think, in retrospect, I think that loss is going to continue to look better and better.
Yeah.
And, it was particularly sweet beating Kentucky because, God, everybody on all the networks was picking Kentucky. I mean, it's just it's just so apparent that no one watches Mizzou football. I mean, fucking nobody. You know what I mean? Like, nobody knows what we are. And that's why when we were given LSU the business early in that game, and people are tweeting, like, what is Missouri about? You know, are we forgetting about Missouri? Are they the best team we're not talking about? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, yeah, you are. You know, this isn't an accident. You know, like, we have a receiving core that most Division I programs would kill for. We've got a quarterback who's as hot as any quarterback in the country. We've got a serviceable running game, and a defense with, though it has underperformed, has talent all over the field. So I think once some of the quote-unquote experts start to take a closer look at Missouri, I think we're going to see those, you know, wins are going to see us jump quite a bit in the rankings, because you know, they dropped us out after, you know, taking LSU to the wire, basically, which made no sense. But then we jump all the way back up to 20 after one win against a Kentucky team that's not particularly world beaters. But we looked good doing it.
You shouldn't think this way, but I can't help but creeping into my mind, like, God, had we managed to pull off that LSU win, we're looking at 7-0. But woulda, coulda, shoulda, we're 6-1 now. South Carolina going to be coming to town, and yes, South Carolina is 2-4, and maybe they're competing with Arkansas for the the best 2-4, 2-5 team in the country. But I look at this team as a dangerous team, honestly. South Carolina, I think Missouri is better than them, but they've had a very difficult schedule as opposed to Kentucky. They played number 21 North Carolina, who is no joke, and they lost there. They played Georgia already. They've gotten that butt padding out of the way. Tennessee is their most embarrassing loss, 41-20. They got blown out. Their only blowout on the year. And they just barely got beat by what looks like a mediocre Florida team. So they are not as bad as their record indicates, I guess that's what I'm saying.
I'd say that they are middling.
Yeah, they're middling.
Which is what I said at the beginning of in the preseason when I went on the Spurs Up podcast. I said they're middling. And, of course, everybody took great offense at that. But I think that's I don't think that's an insult. I think it's what they are right now. I think, you know, programs like Missouri and South Carolina and Kentucky, and we live in middling, and we hope to recruit well enough to have special seasons. And that's what I said. I think Missouri's going to have a special season if they can get by teams like South Carolina and Kentucky. And they've done that already with Kentucky. And now South Carolina is basically that next stepping stone. I mean, you go through – if you win next week, you're 7-1.
Yeah.
And even the snobbiest SEC newspapermen can't cry that Mizzou doesn't belong. And that's good. Fuck them.
Fuck them is right. Colin, I do want to say before we end up going to the break that I was just thinking after that game, Luke Bauer, our punter, tosses that 39-yard touchdown pass to Marquise Johnson. Like you said, absolutely changed the momentum of the game, the trajectory of the entire game. You think Sam Horn went home that night sitting there thinking, goddamn, the fucking punter has been allowed to take more downfield shots than I have. The fucking coach won't let me in, won't let me throw. The goddamn punter gets to throw downfield. Goddamn.
Well, you know what? It feels like a different season when the Sam Horn, Brady Cook talk was going on.
Oh, yeah, it does.
And I remember Ben Fredericton writing that, you know, Brinkwitz wasn't doing any of them a service by doing this. You know, who is the starter, who isn't the starter? He should just started Cook. You want to start Cook and or give Horn a shot. But, you know, this sort of stupid
pretend
faux tryout for Horn, which was never real, did no one any favors. Yeah. And now that all seems like a distant memory because we've said on the show many times, winning cures all.
Yeah.
It cures all.
And I think that's part of the reason.
Except
that
for herpes. You can't get rid of that shit.
But
winning mostly cures all.
Everything but herpes. I think it's taken me so long to jump on board, Colin, because we put our flag in the ground and said Missouri looks bad. Drinkwitz is not doing a good job. And then when that stance clearly turns out to be not right, it's tough. You know, you dig your heels in a little bit and you got to just swallow your pride and say, look, what's staring me in the face is the team I like is doing good. And that's good. You know, it's good to be wrong. Here.
You got
to
say, hey, you got to be able to admit you were wrong. Mm-hmm. What you don't want to do is make up fairy tales. You want to, you know, admit that you lost. Well, I mean, but you got to acknowledge when you're wrong. And we were wrong. It's something that we've berated other people in Mizzou media for doing rather than just admitting they were wrong about certain coaches. We won't mention names, Constant Martin. They just doubled down. And I don't want to do that. Like, we were wrong. This is a good football team. Brady Cook is a good quarterback.
I could pull up an Excel spreadsheet and make up a bunch of fake statistics.
Yeah, we can make
as
up
to say why
algorithm.
What you're seeing is what you think you saw on TV is actually not what you saw. Let me explain to you why we're actually bad.
I think I've said it before that, you know, with Drinkwitz, you basically hope the recruiting and the talent that brings in basically offsets or counteracts some of the more head scratching decisions he might make. You know, but you keep bringing in 5-star wide receivers, you can make some boneheaded calls and still be 6-1.
We weren't alone. I should say that, too. And our skepticism of this team, I think, you know, Gabe DeArmond had at one point called Drinkwitz the most conservative coach in America. And that most conservative coach in America we're talking about is the same guy who did a 39-yard punt, fake punt for a touchdown. The same coach who started a major football game with an onside kick to try to get the ball back. Like, Drinkwitz is being much, much more aggressive than he had been in first couple games of the season, as well as the last couple years as our head coach. So just things are in an entirely different place now.
The circumstances of this game kind of forced his hand to be less conservative. I mean, because I remember, you know, the first series was, you know, like, holy Jesus, like, let's run it up the middle. As though, you know, like, is this really what we're going to do on the road? We're going to come out and just, you know, 5 yards in a cloud of dust. Like, what are you doing? And immediately we have to punt, you know. But when you get down 14, sorry, Drink, you're not going to get to stick to that game plan where you want to lull everybody to sleep. He went full Konzo wits on that first series, and I think that sort of put a bad taste in people's mouth immediately. Then Brady Cook throws an interception, and man, before you know it, you're down 14-0. But what a response by this football team.
Yeah, it makes it even more impressive that we blew out Kentucky and that we started out so miserably. It's hard to believe that we're talking about this. It's hard to believe we're having the season we have because, let's be honest, we're 6-1 now, ranked team, and we're on a trajectory. Talk about special seasons. We're on a trajectory we haven't seen in a decade since the 2013-2014 years when we won the division. There's even crazy talk about will Missouri be the team that finally dents Georgia's record and gives them a loss. I mean, God, we got to play South Carolina before we can even have that kind of crazy conversation. But like, it's coming out of people's mouths. It's, you know what I mean? Like, this is the kind of season this is the direction we're headed right now. It feels really good. And it's nice to have a little faith. And it's taken me a long time to get there, but I'm no longer being the negative Nelly that I've been for so long. And I'm sure people are tired of hearing about. I'm turning off Twitter. I'm going to try to drink away my Mizzou blues.
You know, this game not to be a trap.
It's a trap.
Look at like the 49ers and the Browns. It's not the 49ers getting beat by some other heavyweight football team. It's the fucking team you overlook. And I don't want Mizzou to overlook South Carolina. Mizzou's a better football team if we keep our eyes on the prize and don't look ahead to a Georgia team. Like, we can't play Georgia till we beat South Carolina.
Well,
no trap games.
I think one of the benefits from the struggles we've had in this season and for the battle that Cook has had to get to the position he's in now is that we can't really overlook anybody. And even the first quarter of this Kentucky game tells us that as good of a football team as we are, we're living on a razor's edge. That at any time, if we let up off the gas or if we lose focus, or we start with more of the penalties, that we could turn back into the pumpkin that we saw at the beginning of the season and what we saw last year. But when everything's working and when everybody's rowing in the same direction, this is a damn good football team. I will say before we get to the break, Colin, talking about the penalties, we didn't have penalties against Kentucky, and Kentucky did. They were heavily penalized, and a lot of their penalties were backbreakers that, you know, took points off the board and negated huge gains, the kind of things that would drive us nuts and that we have done in the past. We were more disciplined. Kentucky was the victim of that kind of thing. And look at
and they got away with a couple too, despite what Kentucky made it seem like. I mean, I remember that first series when Kentucky was marching in the field, they're literally, you could see it on the replay. I mean, a guy just basically a handful of jersey pulling a guy sideways. And it's like, I guess that's not a hold anymore, you know, but so. Anyway, no worries getting mired down into that. But yeah, the team looked better just on the whole. After you take away the first quarter and we dominated that football game. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious to hear what our listeners had to say about it because it did start out so badly and it ended up so well that the chronology of the voicemails are going to be all over the place, schizophrenic, and I'm looking forward to it. We'll listen to that, Colin, after the break. This is the Mazzotcast. Hey guys, Mazzotcast is now on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you can join our Patreon page and get extra content from the guys, outtakes from the show, and any insider news that we have, we provide it there first. It doesn't cost much and your support helps the show. Join the Mazzotcast Patreon and be part of the team. Here are our secrets. And we are back, and as we promised, here is the Mazzotcast mailbag.
Here's the mail, it never fails, it makes me want to wag my tail, when it comes I want to wail.
And boys calling from down in Georgia, and we're 5 minutes into the game. Can somebody tell me why the fuck we can't tackle anybody? M-I-Z.
It was a struggle early.
Yeah, the tackling was poor early.
Well, Tyron Hopper just got bitched, and this fucking Ray Davis guy is just spraying his hobo cum all over our fucking poop shoot.
Hobo cum.
And we're only like 10 minutes
in. Somebody had the Mizzou Blues just like Brennan.
This is fucking hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
To be fair to me, it was a fucking terrible start, like disastrous.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Agreed.
It's easy to forget because it went so well afterwards, but it was a fucking, in the moment, yikes.
Well, there's 5 minutes left in the first quarter. Brady Cook's already thrown an interception. I think they have 100 yards rushing already, too. So, might as well start the motherfucking bus and get the fuck out.
No, that's why they keep playing it.
Things took a turn.
But literally, they did have over 70 yards rushing in the first quarter. It's easy to get a case of the Mizzou Blues, Colin.
Oh my God, we suck. I'm not even drunk yet. We are hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
I think we're going to know immediately when these calls get to the second quarter.
Jesus Christ, gang, what the fuck can we do to get a damn stop here? Your damn defense is looking just like my team's, a bunch of bitch-made bitches. Kentucky's running it in raw. Jesus Christ! Fuck! Ugh, what a fucking horrible Saturday.
Look, see, I wasn't the only one.
Jackpot's such a poet.
All right, Trips, Kevin from Kirkwood. Now that is how you respond to getting punched in the mouth. They drive it down your throat, you decide, okay, I'm going to do a fake punt. I'm going to do a brass balls drive, knowing that Kentucky gets the ball coming out of halftime. I'm going to come back and get a lead. I'm impressed. I'm happy with the resiliency of this team and how they can fight back from not having things go their way. Roll on the second half. MIC.
No, resiliency was the word of the day, I think, because if disconcerting was the word from LSU, I think resiliency is the word coming out of Kentucky.
Guys, we looked hungover as hell in the first quarter, but that fake punt was a Matty Mock-sized line of coke to get us right back into this thing.
Pure Bolivian shale.
That's right. A long line, just put together neatly with a credit card, is exactly what we needed.
We're awesome. I'm drunk. And Cody Schrader is a handsome little man.
He is a handsome little man.
Good for him.
They call me Missouri Mike down here in Athens, Georgia, where I live. I remember last week when Missouri threw some haymakers for the first quarter and a half and then lost to the better team. Well, this week, boys, we're fucking the better team. Let's go.
Sure looked like it.
Well, I'd like to get some sour grapes after this, but I don't know if Kentucky fans really care because it's almost basketball season. And at this point in the night, they're probably balls deep in their sister wives anyway. M-I-Z.
Oh, several of them cared. You'll find out soon enough.
I request you guys get Colonel Sanders on this Kentucky game recap. I want to hear about how much cocaine and hookers it took him to get over this one.
Blue Label tonight.
That's right. Johnny Walker was blue, not red tonight.
So I feel like I'm glad we won, but I'm not, like, I don't feel fulfilled because I feel like Kentucky gave us the game. I'm glad we won, and I'm not confident. I mean, I hope we win more games, but they make it tough. Oh, tough like a heart, tough. Man, that dude, whew. I don't know. M.I.C., we're going to see what we got next week.
This guy's still got a touch of Mizzou Blues even after that game.
I know, yeah. A game like that against Kentucky couldn't cure your Mizzou Blues, but not every win's perfect. It was 38-21. It doesn't matter how we got there at the end of the day. It's just the scoreboard tells the tale.
Well, I think even with Brady Cook having some interceptions the last couple games, it's easy to forget how bad he was last season, how bad Bazelak was before him. Like, even this year, even Brady Cook's bad games have been pretty good games by comparison of what we've been getting from our quarterbacks for the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, and you're going to hear me say something that you haven't heard me say maybe ever, which is a big defense of Brady Cook. They're throwing the ball all over the field right now, and they used to not do that. They used to throw these bullshit screen passes, these boring-ass Konzelwitz football. that was safe. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't get much yards, but you didn't throw picks either. And they're throwing it all over the yard. And then we got this false sense of security because Brady Cook went like a SEC record number of throws without throwing a pick. But when you throw the ball all over the yard, you're going to throw an occasional interception. It's just part of how it works. And it's the price you pay for exciting football. So, you know, he's going to throw a few picks. And the picks were bad, but the rest of it's very, very good. The Theo Weiss catches are good. The Marquise Johnson catches are good. And when Luther Burden is on, it's all good. But they do come with the occasional interception.
Yeah, if you said, hey, would you rather, you know, Brady Cook throw some interceptions once in a while and you play an exciting down the field offense, or would you want to, do you want to see Konzowitz ball but no interceptions? I'll take the interceptions and pushing it down the field every day of the week.
I am sorry, Drinkwitz. I'm sorry, Brady Cook. I will eat all the hobo cum filled sour grapes that you fucking feed me, and I will fucking like it.
Hobo cum.
I am sorry. I fucking hate Kentucky. This is probably the most good I felt after a win in fucking 10 goddamn years since 2013. This is for last year with the bullshit with the fucking punter. This is for 2018 with the fucking bullshit pass interference. Fuck Kentucky. Fuck this shitty ass university. We own you. Mizzou is winning the fucking East. Fuck Kentucky. M-I-Z.
Now that guy is past the Mizzou blues. Damn. Yeah, his Mizzou blues is gone.
He's got a Mizzou erection. He's got a full-on steamer.
Oh, man. Mizzou just won. I'm drunk as a skunk. Fucking hit my bet. I'm up money. Free money, some would say. And I tell you what, love the show for the most part, but the big fat guy that puts this show together kind of seems really down on drinking Cook. And as a guy that's been really up on drinking Cook from the beginning, it just seems like, I don't know, maybe Brennan's an asshole that doesn't know shit. I don't know. I mean, maybe Brennan drinks hobo cum for breakfast.
Hobo cum.
And it's hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
Because he doesn't know what he's talking about. This team's going to shit, boys. Anyways, M-I-Z-Z-O-U. Love you, boys.
He's right.
Who knew you could find such sweet, sweet sour grapes in Kentucky?
Well, so Kentucky's just the right recipe for sour grapes because they aren't very good, but they think they're better than us. And so if you beat a team like, let's say we played Alabama and we lost, and Alabama lost to us, the vitriol wouldn't be towards Mizzou. It would be towards the coaches of Alabama, or, you know, the players of Alabama or whatever. There's a sweet spot for, you've got to maybe not, don't want to acknowledge it, but Kentucky has to acknowledge that they're sort of a contemporary and they have an expectation that they're better than us. And then they lose to us. It's great for sour grapes. Alabama thinks they're better than us and they're right. Yeah. And Georgia will too. Like, if we beat Georgia, the vitriol will be squarely pointed at Kirby Smart. You know, it won't be, there won't be a lot of fuck Mizzou. There'll be some of that though. And we'll read it to you.
Well, I mean, you got a team like Tennessee and they're, you know, they've been better than us in the last couple of years, but they absolutely will be fuck Mizzou. You know, I mean,
Well, but again, they'll never say it out loud, but they don't understand, and they don't truly understand it themselves, but subconsciously they know we're their contemporary, but they don't want to ever admit it. And that's what it makes the grapes so sour.
Yeah. And Arkansas is, I think, an ideal scenario because Arkansas is just deluded, right? They don't know what they actually are.
Exactly.
And you can't be Vanderbilt either, because Vanderbilt kind of just like, they don't expect to beat anybody. And you
know, the old saying, like, the lions don't concern themselves with the opinion of sheep.
Yeah.
And that's what Alabama would be. And like, that's what Alabama would blame coaching, and you'd barely mention who they got beat by. They just, the more conversation is the fact that they got beat. You know, when we play teams like Kentucky, where they like to act like they're better than us, they know they're not. And it's that gnawing sense of insecurity that makes the grapes so sweet.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to report that a cure has been found for the Mizzou Blues. For the first time since 2014, no longer will redneck tip children die every year from this terrible disease. It has been cured. Thank you, Daddy Eli Jenkins and Brady Big Cock Cook. Good night.
Man, if only now they could find a cure for SPS.
Yeah, Brady Cook's like that monkey in Outbreak. Remember that movie written with Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah, the one from like 1994?
Yep, play the drop. Anyway, they got to find this monkey because he's the cure.
Yeah.
And our cure, our special little monkey, well, that's Brady Cook. He's the cure for the Mizzou Blues.
He's patient zero.
Yep. He's our AIDS monkey.
It's the nicest thing that's ever been said about Brady Cook on this show is that he's the AIDS monkey that cures the Mizzou Blues.
He's our AIDS monkey.
If Brady can date Eli's daughters, can I date the punter?
Hobo cum.
Well done, young man. I don't know if I endorse this person's parenting, but I also completely endorse this person's parenting.
Strong from Kansas City, boys. Anyone else feel like stuck starting a shotgun after that first quarter? God damn it, this team. Fucking battle back, defense whooped the shit up. We all thought that was about to be 42 to fucking 17 or some shit.
Yeah.
Nope. Turned it on its head. Fuck Kentucky. Somehow those fucking blue pricks have owned us. God, I hope they all go to sleep with blue balls tonight, boys. M-I-Z.
Yeah. That's how I felt, you know. It was on a bad path. And yeah, it was early. And yeah, I jumped the gun. But that's the direction it was heading. And that's, you know, I was tweeting in my feels is what I was doing.
Unreal. I can't fucking believe it. If you were to tell me at the beginning of the season, we would have had a shit game against LSU. We kind of blew it. But then we would be 6-1 right now, turning Kroger Field into Deerberg Field. That's the way to fucking do it. I can't believe it. We represent it. M-I-Z, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, we dropped a hot schnooks on their field.
Well, the Tigers fucking did it. Eli, I was completely out, and he fucking pulled me right back in.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
14-0, then 38-7 run. God damn, it got me hard as a fucking rock. KU fucking lost. Fuck them. The Hogs lost. Fuck them. They can burn in fucking hell. M-I-Z.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Schadenfreude. Yeah.
Hey, fellas. Chase Macklin here after 17-point dub over Kentucky. Congrats to Mizzou for winning their 6th Super Bowl of the season right there. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see we actually have a defensive line on our team. Let's go now. Rolling into homecoming. Couldn't be happier. See y'all in Como. Let's get after it. Cousin Chang, you owe 17 beers on the next SEC podcast. M-I-Z, fellas, let's go Tigers!
In the words of the great St. Louisan and Professional Bowling Association Hall of Famer Pete Weber, who do you think you are? I am M-I-Z, baby.
I love it.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Great win by Missouri. I think Tyron Hopper is playing hurt, and we don't know about it. But I think if we can pull down that ugly, ugly, ugly ginger Spencer Rattler down next week, be able to load up for Georgia going into week whatever it is. 7-1 and looking into to be Georgia. M-I-Z.
It's all going to come down to what kind of Spencer Rattler we're dealing with. It does scare me a little bit with Jaden Daniels, what he was able to do with our defense, and just thinking about what Spencer Rattler can also do with his legs. It's going to be a challenge.
So tonight I'm going to get Mark Stoops in a well, and I'm going to make him repeat the phrase, "It rubs the lotion on its skin, and it does it when it's cold." And I'm going to cut his skin up, and then I'm going to wear his skin. So that's what I'm going to do in celebration of Missouri dominating Kentucky.
Don't forget to tuck your junk.
I fucking hate Kentucky. Fuck you, Mark Stoops, and fuck your fat ass.
Hey, Brett Server, you better call back in because you got some competition for the resident Buffalo Bill.
What was his name? John Barkley?
John Barkley. We threw the David in just because we knew he needed a middle name to be a true serial.
Serial killer name is John David Barkley.
Yeah. I mean,
who I believe murdered and raped many people in Seattle in 1977, if memory serves.
Yeah, he can fill us in if we got the middle name wrong, but we probably don't. We probably have all the details correct. And
I don't think there's any reason to speculate. We got them all right.
Well, and here's what's going to be problematic, Colin, is that, oh, that's a funny joke. He's talking about killing Mark Stoops, wearing his skin. Mark Stoops comes up missing in the next couple of days. Nobody knows where he's at. Suddenly, this podcast becomes of national interest.
Brennan, John David Barkley's secret is safe with me.
That's what I'm fucking talking about. This is the type of game that past Mizzou teams just roll over and die.
Just what you said.
But not this team. Go down 14-0 playing like hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
What do? Outscore fucking Kentucky 38-7. That takes toughness. That takes heart. That takes Brady fucking tough heart. And we are 6-1, bowl eligible. Don't know how the rest of the season is going to go, but I'm fucking here for it. Let's fucking go, baby. M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
The outcome of that game last night makes you wonder if we hadn't gotten fucked over by the referees so many years in a row, would we even be in this situation? Losing 7 of the last 9 to Kentucky. Once they flipped that switch, they absolutely dominated. Homecoming week. M-I-Z.
Well, here's the thing that we did on Saturday that we hadn't done in past years, which is we took the game out of the officials' hands. You know, if you put Kentucky away, you don't have to worry about one shit fucking call or some crazy ass scenario that you've never seen before destroying the game and going the wrong direction. When you fucking blow them out by 17 points and send all their fans home early, you don't have to worry about the officials and how shitty they may be. And that's what we accomplished on Saturday.
Good morning, fellas. Sunday, JD checking in with you. That was a hell of a win last night. I'm glad I recorded the game because I had to go back and watch the motherfucker twice to make sure that you guys actually beat Kentucky. Holy shit, what a game. I was kind of up and down there for a while. I didn't know if you guys were going to pull it out or not, but, man, I was sitting there drinking my Johnny Walker and watching y'all motherfuckers cook. Anyway, congratulations and hell of a job. Like I said, man, I see 10-2 for y'all this year. You guys are on a roll. And I would like to officially put my membership to my school in the transfer portal. I don't know if you guys got room on your bandwagon there for me to jump on, but I'm about over these motherfucking moral victories at Arkansas. We're the best goddamn 2-5 team in the country. But man, I'm sick of it. I've had enough of fucking Big Titty Pittman, and I'm ready to go and get on some of that Mizzou football. I mean, my wife's a graduate from there anyway, so I'm kind of in, you know what I mean? So, like I said, man, you guys are doing a hell of a job. Keep up good work, and talk to y'all later. M-I-Z.
Thank you, JD. This all sounds well and good, but, you know, Mizzou is going to play Arkansas at the end of the year like we always do. And I just want to, I think this is going to put this whole transfer portal talk to the test at that point because...
A teamectomy is a rare procedure.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it can't be done. I've seen it done once. It wasn't pretty, for quite frankly.
It's a lot of scarring.
Just a shout out to the refs, really, of that game. I know a lot of Kentucky fans are going to say, oh, you know, Missouri was getting all the fucking calls. Well, Missouri was getting all the right calls for a change. So I just didn't want that to be overlooked. M-I-Z, boys.
Kentucky played sloppy. That's a factor in it. You know, Missouri has played sloppy in the past, and the flags come out. And Kentucky played sloppy, and some of those big calls that went Missouri's way, some of those big penalties that took points off the board, you look at the replay. And they weren't bad calls. They were the right
calls.
No,
that's what I was going to say. I you know, I saw the same thing you did, Brennan, is Kentucky people bemoaning the calls. I'm like, especially on a couple of those pass interferences, they were obvious pass interferences.
Yeah.
Obvious. You know what I mean? Like, one of them in particular, the guy just literally had two hands on him just standing in front of him. You know, like, guys, the rule is you can't chuck beyond 5 yards. So when they're 15 yards down the field and your fucking player's got two hands in front of him and basically look like he's run blocking him. Yeah, that's a pass interference.
Well, and on the false start call that took the touchdown off the board, you look back and the guy absolutely is bouncing all over the line there. It's a false start. That's a flag. You throw that flag.
Bart guy here. Literally just got back from Lexington. First quarter, literally shit my pants. Had to go back to the hotel. Had to change my diaper after got back about second quarter through.
and God bless those motherfucking Tigers. Feeling really good. Can't wait to make those cocks so fucking flaccid next week. Bark guy out.
I like that this guy pooped his pants.
Well, he said literally. Do you think he literally meant he... Did you take him at his word?
I took him at his word. He pooped his pants in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He went back to the hotel, changed those undies, and went back like a real fan.
That's a George Brett move right there.
That's right.
Well, there you have it. And as we suspected, the feelings were up and down. But at the end of the day, everybody was happy. Mizzou pulled off the big win. And because of that, Kentucky fans weren't so happy and gave us an opportunity to do something we enjoy greatly but don't always get to do. It's time for Sour Grapes. What you got there, Sour Grapes? You got a grip of sour grapes. Ooh, them sour grapes. You brought them sour grapes. Sour grapes, sour grapes. You got them sour grapes. Oh, sour grapes. You brought a grip of sour grapes. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. You got them sour grapes. All right, Colin, what have you got for us?
At, Football Legends at FBL Legends _11 writes, hard to win when you're playing against the refs.
Sour grapes.
Yeah, blame the officials.
These guys went straight for official blaming. That's the siren song of the fucking loser. Brandon Lane writes, Missouri holds every play and no call, but Kentucky's called every play. Trash, laugh emoji, laugh emoji. So it sounds like he's mad. But he actually finds it hilarious.
Sour grapes.
Every day of every year for the last 11 years, we've listened to people say, Missouri doesn't belong in this conference. Nobody cares about you. You're a joke of a program. You're a poverty program. And now all of a sudden, the SEC officials have their thumb on the scales for the Missouri Tigers.
Yep, that's right. SEC loves this. Of course they're pulling for us.
That's right.
Monty, at Monty Singh, wrote, fuck you, Missouri.
Sour grapes.
Classic.
Mizzou can thank the refs for this drive. That PI call was weak as it gets. That's from Lieutenant Dipshit.
Sour grapes.
Well, Lieutenant Dipshit, you're dipshit.
Yeah, you're as good as your name.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith Myers at PM Myers writes, refs just gonna let Mizzou hold on every other play? Yep, I guess so.
Sour grapes.
The whining ref moaning. I mean, it's just, like I said, no one has taken it on the chin by ref officials more than Missouri. We always feel like we're careful to not go singing the fucking siren song of fucking poor officiating to wallpaper over our team's deficiencies. That's a level of maturity that Kentucky fans obviously haven't reached. Oh. Nicholas Delango writes, refs are making sure Missouri wins this game, and I'm loving that. I'm confused. A Kentucky fan loves it? That I don't think they understand emojis or the word love. It's all really confusing.
Alex Ware says, it doesn't help that one of these refs has money on Missouri. My goodness, they've been terrible.
Sour grapes.
Mike Bassett writes, it must feel good to be a Missouri fan when you have the refs in your pocket. Kentucky is getting hosed. Yeah, you know, Brennan, it's just the kind of consideration when you get to, when you're a blue blood program like Missouri. You know, the refs just going to give you every call.
Well, it's just like, you know, Michael Jordan could always take an extra step and never got the foul called on him because he's Michael Jordan. And I guess
you couldn't lay a finger on Tom Brady.
That's right. And Missouri is to college football what Tom Brady was to the NFL and what Michael Jordan was to the NBA. Obviously, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Sour grapes.
Brandon Lane, nah, SEC refs love Missouri.
Sour grapes.
Colin, these calls that went against Kentucky, can you just admit that you caused a lot of penalties? Like, Mizzou has had a ton of penalties, and I don't remember once us going like, gosh, the refs really have it in for our team. No, we penalized because we caused penalties.
At Learlocks agrees. He said these refs are cheating for Missouri.
Yeah, they sure
are. Sour grapes.
Hey, here's one that's not ref related, Colin. Justin at Mountain Vision says Mizzou is a poverty program.
Sour grapes.
I'm about sick of the term poverty program. Not that Missouri's being called poverty program. I don't give a shit about that. I just think it's tired and it's lazy. I mean, it popped up like 2 years ago, 3 years, where people said poverty program. And now it's like every other insult is poverty program. It's just lazy. Think of something new to say. There's so many insults out in the world.
It's like the living rent free.
Yes. Like, I hate rent free too.
You know, rent free was pretty clever in 2011.
Yeah, it's fucked out. Poverty program, Super Bowl, rent free. Get some new material, world.
Zach Traylor writes, Leary sucks. We have the most undisciplined O-line in the country. Refs have the money line on Mizzou. This guy acknowledges his team wasn't playing very well on the O-line, but then blames the refs.
Here's one, Colin. McShane Carver says, Kentucky back to losing to cellar dwellers.
Sour grapes.
Who do they think they are, and who do they think we are? In the 10 years we've been in the SEC, I would like to know how many times we've been. We have been in the cellar of the SEC East, but rarely have we been below Vanderbilt. And a couple of years, we've been at the top of the division. The cellar dwellers talk, fuck you. I mean, it's just bizarre that even Kentucky fans would have this holier than thou attitude when they're, check notes, Kentucky.
Mike at UK Wildcats 222 writes, it's your Super Bowl victory. We know it. Don't deny it.
Sour grapes.
Haven't heard a Super Bowl one yet.
Yes, talk about fucked out.
I'm telling you. Here's one to Colin, blaming the fact that they got beat by Georgia last week. We lose one game and the players just don't care anymore. Stoops has to do something about that soon.
Sour grapes. Now
this, you talk about loser mentality. This is Arkansas talk. The reason we lost was not because we're bad, or that Missouri might actually be good. It's because we didn't care about this game because we lost to Georgia last week. We were pouting.
Diehard sports fan at @huge_sportsfan writes, well, Mizzou just won their Super Bowl. Congrats on finally winning. Thanks.
Sour grapes.
Mont at @DissonStunna writes, I want Missouri's bitch ass to lose so bad, brah. And
sour grapes.
No. The Jones Zone says, Missouri coach celebrating like they just won the Super Bowl against Alabama. Dude, it's Kentucky. Calm down.
Sour grapes.
First of all, even if we beat Alabama, it wouldn't be the Super Bowl. So, it's a stupid analogy. And then also, who cares? We won. We're going to celebrate. Yeah. Fuck you.
Well, Brendan Beth Jerry says, I seriously do not understand why anyone would want to, A, go to Mizzou, and B, play for Dorkowitz. The answer to that is to beat Kentucky. That's why you go there, is because you'll get to beat Kentucky.
Sour grapes.
Justin T at JTDizzle2100 says, did we miss on a Dorkowitz hire?
Sour grapes.
Now they want Dorkowitz in their corner.
Oh, that's what's the crazy thing is, Brennan, is Dorkowitz wins too much, and one of these upper tier SEC programs is going to poach him, and they won't Dorkowitz anymore. Juan Porker writes, in comparison to states similar to Missouri's population-wise and size-wise, Mizzou is poverty. I'm not sure what to make of that, Brennan.
Sour grapes.
Well, it's stupid nonsense talk from a stupid, stupid person.
That sounds like the kind of stats you get from like deep cable news.
It's word salad. It doesn't mean anything. Let's break it down. In comparison to states similar to Missouri, population-wise and size-wise, Mizzou is poverty. It doesn't mean anything. It's indecipherable. It's stupid.
Yeah.
This is a guy named Juan Porker.
Really help this guy fella out.
Well, he's missing entire phrases in comparison to states similar to Missouri. Then what? That doesn't make any sense. It's just like trying to have a conversation with a Labrador. It's just not going to go well.
I can't teach my Labrador how to do math, and I can't teach this douche pump how to spell or use Twitter or how grammar works or why he lost.
Colin, if you were a little confused on why the outcome of the game was the way it was, Chris Judy has the answer for you. He says the thing is that refs don't call shit on Missouri.
Sour grapes.
You know what? Kentucky's been having some decent seasons, and I think maybe they have as so many SEC programs are, susceptible to delusion. Because what I saw really that held Kentucky back was their quarterback's kind of shit, is what I saw. Once Mizzou kind of figured it out, started bringing a little more pressure, turns out he was shit. That was the difference in the game for me. I was like, oh, we can move the football. They can't because their quarterback is shit.
Sure.
So nobody in all of those tweets about referees mentioned that the quarterback's shit. And, you know, I'm no expert, but I kind of feel like the quarterback's important.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, Colin, a couple of pass interference calls. You look at the replays, and they were clear pass interference. Here's the thing. Missouri had a pass interference called on them as well. And I watched the replay, and I was like, yep, that was a DPI right there. That was a bad call, or that was a bad play. You know, that was the right penalty flag to have been thrown. Kentucky sees the same thing, and they think refs are out to get us.
Well, Brennan, I think that's all the sour grapes. Sour
grapes! You talk about how, you know, if you're a really good program, you sort of like turn on yourself and get mad at the coaches. And if you're a really bad program like Vanderbilt, you just take it in stride because you kind of expected the outcome. Kentucky decided that Mizzou, while a poverty program, was benefited by how could we afford to pay these referees if we're in such deep, deep poverty? That's what I want to know.
It's amazing. Missouri's an afterthought. You know, we don't belong. But at the same time, the refs are totally in our pocket. It's a really strange place to live.
It's a tale as old as time, Colin. The officials and everyone in power wants Missouri to be head of the Southeastern Conference, where it fits in culturally and historically, mm-hmm. and just belongs. It just means more in Missouri, I guess.
Yeah. Brennan, I hate to say it, but the SEC and Missouri, we're both part of the deep state.
That's true. The deep South state. All right, let's move along to Around the Horn with the SEC.
We break our bread at Waffle House. Our teams are pretty good. We even play some basketball when Jesus says we should. So pour a little bourbon and repeat right after me. We built a church for Saturdays and called it SEC.
Loves football.
And Colin, would you fire up the Paul Fine bot?
Yep.
Alabama. Nick Saban.
Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Thank you, Mizzou Cast Podcast.
All right, let's get into the action this week. Colin, things started off with number one in the country, Georgia, playing lowly Vanderbilt. And this was kind of a surprising start. You talk about Missouri starting poorly. Vanderbilt and Georgia were tied at 7 at the end of this first quarter. Of course, Georgia ended up being Georgia and won this game 37-20. But Vanderbilt did not embarrass themselves in any way. And honestly, Vanderbilt's 2-6. They're 0-4 in conference. But they are a team that it's kind of a shame that they're not as bad as the bad teams in the Big 12 were, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt. They're bad. But there's a lot of bad teams in a lot of conferences. And I think if you put Vanderbilt in the Mountain West, they'd play ball.
Yeah, they'd be much more competitive.
Yeah. What do you think it tells us about Georgia? It's nothing. They just weren't up for Vandy.
Yeah, that's my concern, is that it's just, like I said, you know, these trap games don't happen when you're playing big opponents. You know, by definition, you have to be playing someone you're overlooking, and Vanderbilt's the ultimate overlook for the SEC.
Yeah, that takes us to Alabama versus Arkansas.
Alabama.
I don't know if Alabama was overlooking Arkansas, but this was a much closer game than I think a lot of people expected, certainly Vegas. Alabama beats Arkansas 24-21. Arkansas tried to claw their way back into this one. JD mentioned in the voicemails another moral victory for Arkansas.
No.
As they did outscore Alabama in the second half.
No.
Came up short. Alabama, Colin, you know, I was saying I think Alabama's starting to figure it out. They did not look like it this weekend. They let a 2-5 Arkansas team nearly come back on them.
I don't agree.
Yeah. Alabama's not what they've been. And I mean, the rank shows it. Were they 11? something in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
At least they were.
I don't agree.
It's crazy to say, but that's a pretty disappointing season if you're Nick Saban.
I don't agree.
They're still leading the West at 4-0 in conference, 6-1 overall.
They are a really good football team.
But yeah, head-to-head, even with Georgia not looking as good as last year, I feel like Georgia maybe walks against Alabama this year.
You should be fired.
Yeah, I would definitely pick Georgia in that matchup.
I don't agree.
Okay, that brings us to Tennessee versus Texas A&M. This is a game I bet. Now, Tennessee was favored by 3. They ended up beating them 20-13. Tennessee was number 19 in the country. A&M just isn't that good, in my opinion. They're 4-3 now, 2-2 in conference. Tennessee moves to 5-1, 2-1 in SEC play. It was a bit of a slugfest. Neither team looked great, honestly. I watched this one throughout since I did have money riding on it. And up until the very end, it looked like it could go either way. Tennessee ultimately pulled it out by a touchdown. I don't know. Tennessee, it made me feel like Tennessee is gettable. And it certainly made me feel like A&M is who I thought they were. But it did. It gives me confidence as Tennessee looms closer on Missouri's schedule that, this is not the same team that put up 66 points on us last year.
You're right about that.
No, it's not. And we're not the same team either.
You're right.
This is a better Mizzou team than Georgia saw last year. So
no.
Tennessee. No, we'll keep our fingers crossed, but let's get through South Carolina first.
And then we move to LSU versus Auburn. Auburn came to Baton Rouge. LSU coming off their win at Missouri. Had no problem with Auburn. 48-18. You mentioned that the LSU loss might look better and better as Jaden Daniels marches his way to a possible Heisman. Auburn's crap this year, but LSU absolutely fucking pounded them. We'll see how LSU ends up this year, but we shouldn't feel too bad about falling short against LSU is the way it's looking. And then Florida, South Carolina, of interest obviously to us, and those are two teams that we're going to have to play in conference, in division, and South Carolina coming up. They fell short 41-39 at home. Look, South Carolina put up 39 points. They could not stop Florida. That's what we hope to see with their lousy defense against our Missouri Tigers, but we've got to contain Spencer Rattler better than the Gators did.
Not a chance.
I think we can.
Not a chance.
I think right now Mizzou's roster is better on both sides of the ball than Florida's.
And then that takes us to the Missouri-Kentucky game. Obviously, we mentioned 38-21. Mizzou was the victor. Next week, Mississippi State will be at Arkansas. This is a bad Mississippi State team going up against a bad Arkansas team. Arkansas is favored by a touchdown. I do think they'll win this one. Arkansas is, JD joked that they were the best 2-5 team in the country. I do think that they're better than their – just like South Carolina, they're better than their record indicates. Mississippi State is not good. So I would say Arkansas is going to get their first SEC win against Mississippi State on Saturday.
I sure hope so, because that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back for old Samuel Pittman.
No, you mean he'll get fired if he loses to Mississippi State?
I mean, I don't – maybe fired, no. I don't know. I mean, the fan base, you can tell, is certainly turning on him, but I don't know where the administration is at. It's looking bad in Arkansas, and it – I don't know. Maybe, like I said, that moral victory against Alabama will buy him time, but I would think losing to a team that sort of is the consensus – worst team in the SEC West. If they lost that game, yeah, I could see the talk really getting the seat really getting hot.
You know, looking back on that photo of Sam Pittman with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, where his tits were just so enormous. Part of me wonders if he's sort of like Pinocchio, where Pinocchio tells a lie and his nose grows. Every time Arkansas loses, Sam Pittman's tits go up a cup size. And if that's true, where does he end up at the end of this year? Dolly Parton-esque.
Oh, man, he's going to be like one of those weird pornos you see where the lady has boobs the size of, basketballs.
Colin, I don't care what size Sam Pittman's tits are. If he's in a porno, it's going to be a weird one.
Yep, that's right.
I love it.
All right. Alabama is taking on Tennessee in Tuscaloosa. Alabama's favored by 9.5 over the Volunteers. That seems like a big line, given how poorly Alabama played last weekend.
And this is a rivalry in a way. Maybe rivalry might be the wrong word, but this is definitely a game that Tennessee gets up for. You know, this is who they want their rival to be. I don't know that Alabama looks at Tennessee that way, but Tennessee certainly views Alabama that way. This is their to steal a phrase, Brendan, their Super Bowl.
Yeah, sure is. 9.5 is a big number, in my opinion. I just think this Alabama, I don't know. I could be looking at it all wrong. It could be like Georgia when they went and dismantled Kentucky just to show everybody who they are. But I don't know if Alabama's got it in them. Tennessee hasn't looked great, but they're certainly one of the better teams I think Alabama has faced thus far. I don't know. At home, it's hard to bet against Nick Saban.
You're right about that.
I don't know. I'm taking Tennessee. I think that this is a game that Alabama, this is where they slip up.
I don't agree. Nick Saban.
I like it. I mean, I don't know if, I'm not going to say that Tennessee will win, but I think 9 is too many.
Yeah. I mean, I could take Tennessee. Definitely gambling-wise, I would take Tennessee and the points for sure.
Yep, agreed.
You should be fired.
Ole Miss, number 13 now in the country, will be heading to Auburn. Ole Miss is just a 6.5-point favorite against a 3-3 Auburn squad. Honestly, the way this sets up to me as a game, I think Ole Miss is going to boat race Auburn because they're a team that gets beat by Alabama. They're a team that probably gets beat by Georgia. You know, good teams will spank Ole Miss, but mediocre or bad teams, those are the games that Lane Kiffin has his way. And I know it's going to be on the road, but 6.5, I like that one. I think Ole Miss is going to have no trouble with a very bad Auburn team.
Both those are good bets, honestly, if you ask me.
Yeah. Call the bookie.
I might be calling our bookie.
Yeah. No, I went 3-0 this week against that bookie. I'm glad he lost money, Colin. It felt good. Our bookie, by the way, is a friend of ours, and we kind of root week in and week out that we bankrupt his family.
Yeah, it's the kind of friendship that only the closest of friends share.
Well, and I mean this too. I mean, for those of you listening at home, we literally have a text thread going around where we try, if we see a game where we think, hey, this is a good bet, like this is a good chance this is going to pay off, we try to get as many of the people we know to all bet that same bet so that when it hits, our friend the bookie just really has a serious financial problem.
Yeah.
On his hands. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of care we have. We want to hurt him. We want his family to hurt. All right. LSU will be taking on Army at home. LSU 5-2, Army 2-4. LSU is a 30-point favorite in this one. I think I'll go with LSU. And then that takes us to our game, South Carolina versus number 20 in the country now, University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri, the good Columbia. Colin, have you seen the line on this one yet?
I haven't.
You want to take a stab at it? Take a guess what they put this one at?
Missouri -3.
You would be underselling it, Colin. They like Missouri. Missouri is a 7.5-point favorite in this game against South Carolina.
That's more credit than I'm used to getting.
It certainly is. I wonder.
I think people are starting to believe.
I do wonder when the last time, I guess outside of Vanderbilt, when was the last time Missouri was a 7.5-point favorite in a conference game? The line I like most in this game, Colin, the over-under in this matchup is 60. I know that Missouri and South Carolina both are able to score points, but that's a big over-under in the year where the clock is ticking faster. I'd be likely to take, if I was going to bet this game, I'd take the under before I'd take anything else.
Yeah, that seems like a big number. But honestly, last week, what was it, 51?
Yeah.
I thought that sounded kind of big, but they passed it like with no problems.
True enough. So there you have it. That is the action this week in the SEC. Colin, let's move on just to a real quick Kansas news.
Well, I always heard there were three kinds of suns in Kansas. Sunshine, sunflowers, sons of bitches.
This is Kansas News.
Kansas 5-1 heading into Saturday, number 23 in the country. They faced Oklahoma State. Colin, I got some bad news for you. the Kansas Jayhawks, who are looking so good this season, were frankly looking better than the Missouri Tigers at a point. They fell to the Oklahoma State Cowboys 39-32.
That's a lot better game than they have given Oklahoma State in some years.
Yeah, but they got dicked in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma State came back and won it. Kansas falls out of the top 25 after that loss and falls back to reality. They're now 5-2, 2-2 in the Big 12 conference. And then they're next, after they're facing a bye in the following week, they're going to have to go up against number 6, Oklahoma. I think the Cinderella story for Kansas is over.
Their wizard coach just doesn't have enough magic to overcome certain obstacles.
Sad to see it. It's a shame. All right, Colin, that takes us to our awards segment of the show. So why don't we launch off with our TJ Moe
Douche of the Week.
Obviously, this award was named after one of the biggest douches in Mizzou history, TJ Moe. Who fits the bill and earns the trophy named after TJ this week, Colin?
Well, I saw that Shedeur Sanders, Deion Sanders' son and quarterback for Colorado, looks like he was posting links to merchandise on his Instagram story when he was up 29-0 against Stanford, a game that they lost.
Yeah.
And then later, he claimed that he didn't have his phone at halftime, so somebody else was doing that on his phone.
Sure.
I think that's, personally, I think that's horse shit.
I was hacked.
Yeah, I think that's a big fat fucking lie. But anyway, that's pretty douchey. It's like, oh, we're up by so much, I'm going to try to peddle merch at halftime.
Sure.
I mean, I understand that they're doing things different in Colorado, and I kind of respect it. But at the same time, it's like, you still have to take care of business.
And they did not. They absolutely
and for all that bravado
themselves
and coach speak, rah-rah speeches that Deion Sanders gives, I'm like, you guys just blew it when you're up 29-0.
Yeah, that was bad. And I feel like the whole Coach Prime thing is super polarizing. People are locked in and they either love him or hate him. And I kind of don't even want to go down that road because I don't really give a fuck either way, to be honest. The whole Deion Sanders Colorado
thing.
What he's
doing is great. I think he's a good coach. But I also think that a lot of it is performative.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, you know, it's not as genuine or sincere as Deion would like you to believe. He knows what he's doing. He's manipulating people. I wouldn't call it a snake oil salesman because the guy delivers. But he's definitely full of shit.
And he always has been. I mean, that's you know what you're getting, you know, with Deion. Mm-hmm. And that's why it doesn't bother me, I guess, is because it's like, have you not seen Deion for the last, I don't know, 25 years he's been in the national spotlight? Like, he is who he's always been.
Appreciate his ability to dupe rubes. You know what I mean? Like, he's been selling himself to the great unwashed masses for years, and he's made him an exceptionally wealthy man. I think he's a clever chap and a good coach.
Well, another candidate I wanted to bring up, Colin, a little closer to home, is South Carolina's head coach Shane Beamer. I don't know if you heard a little dust up that he's been dealing with this week.
I saw that he was, I don't know, a little douchey to his players, maybe.
He was asked in his press conference what went wrong against Florida, how they lost. And a lot of people are saying that he blamed everybody. He took a shotgun approach and was blaming everybody around him except anyone named Shane Beamer. But let me just play a little bit for you. You decide for yourself what you think.
Shane, I know you haven't had a chance to really ingest it, but looking at the defense, just what did you see as the main problem out there
tonight? I saw the main problem, David. We call pressures and we don't run them. We play man coverage and didn't do a great job of keeping leverage. I mean, just in the first half alone, we ran a pressure where the corner came and for some reason he stopped and we gave up an explosive pass because we didn't continue to run the pressure. We had another pressure call where we didn't run it. in the first half. We had a holding penalty in the secondary in the first half. We had another pressure on a third down backed up where we're going to be off the field in the first half, and we didn't execute it properly. We talked to our guys about not jumping around the quarterback. We jumped and got beat on a pump fake. We had an offsides in the first half. So just did not play clean football. And then at the end of the day, we had some calls that were perfect calls. We ran a edge pressure. If somebody said, hey, a team is getting ready to run a reverse, what would be the perfect call? You would bring both people off the edge. We did it. We had a perfect call sometimes. And their guy made the play and we didn't. But we got good kids in that room. They're going to continue to make those plays. We've got to continue to do a better job of coaching them and putting them in position to make those plays.
I get a very Kevin Sumlin from Shane Beamer. I listen to that press conference and go, this is a dumb person talking right now. And I always felt that way about Kevin Sumlin. I was like, how did this guy get to this point in coaching? He strikes me as a complete moron. And now that I listen to Shane Beamer, I guess I didn't really listen to him talk at a presser much, but I'm like, sort of sounds dumb.
Yeah. Do you think he was deflecting?
Oh, I think he's a douche.
Yeah.
Too, obviously.
All right.
I think it's a wise selection.
Are you going to go with Shane Beamer?
Sure.
All right. Well, Shane Beamer, congratulations. And welcome to Columbia, Missouri. You're going to be joining us as Douche of the Week. All right. Now let's get to the fun one, Colin. Mizzou played a great game in our victory 38-21 over Kentucky. A lot of guys were contributors to it. Who was the one that deserves the golden fleece?
Now it's time for Kirk Farmer's Hair, Player of the Game.
I say Theo Weiss. He stepped up big time this game.
Hmm.
Several conversions, had a great catch for a touchdown. You know, when they were obviously trying to take Luther Burden out of the game, Theo Weiss made him pay. And that's who I'm going to go with.
Yeah, I think that's a great selection. I think honorable mention at least has to go out to a fellow named Luke Bauer, the University of Missouri punter, who chucked downfield a 39-yard touchdown bomb to Marquise Johnson and utterly altered the narrative of this football game. Yeah, it was the one and only contribution he really made to the game other than three punts.
Well, and I'd say Marquise Johnson deserves quite a bit of credit for making that play happen as well.
I do too, because the ball was a tad underthrown. He had to go up and get it. It worked out great because the defender, after that throw kind of was underthrown, kind of lost his timing, and Marquise Johnson marched in easily for the touchdown. But I agree. I think Theo Weiss was a big, big, probably the biggest factor in this game. Got himself open, made some huge plays. But I just wanted to – the play that changed the course of the game was that fake punt. And it was executed perfectly both by Bauer and by Johnson. And so I couldn't hand out the fleece without at least mentioning the guys who contributed to that play. But well, I'm not going to argue with you. I think Theo's the guy.
You pat whoever you want on the hiney, but Theo Weiss is the man.
All right. 6 receptions, 58 yards, and a touchdown. Theo Weiss Jr., congratulations. You're this week's Kirk Farmer's Hair Player of the Game. All right, Colin. Onward and upward to South Carolina. I don't know if you can call this one a trap game or not. I feel like the players, the coaches, everyone knows how important all these games are down the road. I mean, there is nothing left on the schedule that you overlook. I mean, we're a good team, but we're not a team that can coast by anybody. This is a big one. And after a big win against Kentucky, we got to have this one too. And I think we look like a team who's very capable of doing it if we keep focus.
We need this too, because when I went on the Spurs Up show, got a lot of saving this when they threw up the clips of our segment. You know, so there's a lot of South Carolina fans ready to dance on my grave if we don't win.
Yeah,
but I'm especially looking forward to that because I saved a few things myself.
Glad to hear it, because that you ruffled some cock feathers when you went on that show, and God forbid what you say came out to be true. That'd be awful, just awful.
Yep.
All right, Colin. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Do you have a prediction for Saturday?
Mizzou 31, Carolina 17.
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm going to say Missouri 34, Carolina 24.
I can live with that.
It's a rare case where not only am I picking Missouri to win, I'm expecting them to cover. Because as we know, good teams win, Great teams cover.
Great teams cover.
That's right. All right, we'll see you all on Saturday. M-I-Z.
Z-O-U.
Maybe Brennan's an asshole that doesn't know shit.